everybody, and welcome to the Internet Storm Center podcast. This is a special presentation of all the speeches that were given by the handlers at SANS 2009. All right, and this next presentation is entitled Developing Cyber Threat Intelligence by Adrien de Beaupré. Enjoy.
So, thanks for coming, everyone. My name is Adrien de Beaupré, and I work for a company called, I believe so. Can people hear me? Oh, it's just for show. I work for Electronic Warfare Associates Canada, or EWA Canada, and we are a IT security consulting services firm. And we also run a site called CANCERT, CANCERT.ca, and we are also in the cyber threat intelligence field, incident response management, VA pen test, you name it. And I have the privilege of being a SANS Internet Storm Center handler, wherein we write diaries about topics that we find interesting, and we also write about incident management, incident response, new tools, new threats, and to a certain extent, we are a provider of these three magic words, cyber threat intelligence. Anyone want to volunteer a definition of what you think cyber threat intelligence means? I have my ideas. It's not really a industry standard norm term. So, no one wants to volunteer? What is CTI to you? Really good working definition. So, general trends in perhaps malware, attacks, threats, vulnerabilities, things that occur to either the global community or specifically to your organization or your industry. So there are various ways and chunks of looking at cyber threat intelligence. What's happening to me, what's happening to people like me, and everyone. Let's see if we can page. Can we page down? Maybe not. Oh, so, introduction, what I'm going to talk about tonight. I can talk for hours, so I'm going to try and limit myself to around 45, 50 minutes. And unfortunately, I have a tendency to A, speak with an atrocious Canadian accent. Hopefully you can understand me. And B, I tend to speak a little bit quickly. And I'll try and not to speak too quickly. And if I use any vernacular or terminology you don't get, please raise your hand. Any questions, just ask, raise your hand, and we'll get around to it. Very informal. This is not a formal presentation of what I think. We can make this quite interactive, in fact. So what is CTI? Where can I get me some? How do I get this magic thing of CTI? I have a proposed architecture on how organizations can actually build a cyber threat intelligence capability that will feed the appropriate information to the appropriate people at, hopefully, the appropriate time. And a conclusion on where things can possibly go from here. So what is CTI? I ran across this awesome quote by Paul E. Kurtz, who is a cybersecurity expert and current or former presidential advisor. Former. So to him, CTI is the ability to collect, share, and analyze, well, there's a key word, data in order to tailor responses to a threat. I think that's an awesome definition. I've been searching for a nice little one-sentence definition of what is CTI. My personal definition revolves around situational awareness, being aware of what's going on inside your little sandcastle, what's going on around your moat, what's going on in the outside world, and what's happening to everyone, as this gentleman pointed out, the community at large. So relevant information on threats, vulnerabilities, trends, targeted attacks, the stuff that keeps people awake at night. Am I being targeted or is just everyone being attacked? That's a key question when you come across potential compromise. Is it just me? And unfortunately, the website isitjustme.whatever doesn't tell me if it's just me or not. It just tells me if the website's down. So a lot of this data can be collected, open source, private source, internal, external, all kinds of ways to collect data, and then massage it. One of the key things that I find missing from certain CTI feeds is perhaps the analysis and detailed knowledge on how this is relevant, how it can be tailored to my environment, and how it can become meaningful to my environment. So, my little recipe book of requirements for what a CTI organization capability should have, and, as importantly, what a commercial cyber threat intelligence feed should have, because they exist. People charge you large amounts of money for what they consider to be cyber threat intelligence. And some of them meet the requirements in some ways. In my personal view, very few of them meet them. All of them. There's a key one, a little smiley face, useful. Is it really useful to me? Meaning, can I do something with it? Or is it just an FYI? Timely. Internet moves at internet speed, right? Things have changed a lot over time. What was intelligence yesterday, today is absolutely useless. That's yesterday's news. Use that vernacular. So timely to me and accurate. Is it a trusted source that I can validate? Are there other sources that can validate or correlate that source of information? Twitter is really cool, right? Man, I can follow all kinds of things. I can see things happening right up to the minute. But what if the guy who tweeted is a twit? Okay, it's timely, but is it accurate? Tailored, relevant, okay? Unix vulnerabilities, there's all kinds of them. What if I don't run Unix? What if I don't run Apache or whatever the vulnerability du jour is? What if I don't run Windows? Information on that product from a vendor might be absolutely useless to me. However, a lot of the cyber threat intelligence feeds are not designed to be tailored for only you. What if I do run only this flavor of Unix and only this version of Windows, and I only care about these applications and nothing else? Which is a lot of cases. I don't want the rest of the cruft. Correlated, I want multiple sources of data. I tend to believe things if I see them from multiple sources, particularly trusted sources. Jim tells me something, Lenny tells me something, Johanna says, no, that's nonsense. Oops, now what do I say? Do I say it's yet true or no? I tend to try and validate. Can we run it in a lab? Jim says yes, Johanna says it doesn't work. Pedro says, yeah, but... Picking on my fellow handlers in the front row. Has the feed had any form of human intelligence applied to it? Any form of analysis? I have worked for organizations that, no word of a lie, copy and paste Microsoft advisories and re-release them as an advisory with no change except perhaps punctuation. And because we live in Canada, we probably also translate it to another language, i.e. French, and release that and say, hey, we have an advisory. But you could have just got it from Microsoft, because there's no analysis performed on the impact to you. That's a key thing. What does it mean to me? It's all about me, right? Mitigation. What do I do about it? Great, we have information about a new threat that affects us. What do we do? Besides run around with our heads cut off, screaming, wishing there was a beer fairy. Can we get some metrics? Use the magic word trend. What is the trend? Is it up? Is it down? Is it high, medium, low? No. I need hard numbers. My C-level guys say, give me a number. Should I make one up? It's a 7. Yeah, right, Jim, it's a 7. Do we have a rating system for severity, impact to me? Do I say high, medium, low, or can I put some sort of a validation on that as a kind of a number? Can I quantify it, but with a rating system that makes sense and is repeatable, consistent, and does not change over time? And interactive. My CTI feed Can I go back to them and say, yeah, about that, can you tell me more? Or, yeah, I'm not really concerned about that, whatever you're telling me. Can you find out more about something new? I heard about this other thing I want to know more about. Something new came out. Tell me about it. Is there a consultation service there back and forth between me, the client, and my CTI provider, whomever that may be, someone within my organization or an external feed? It's a lot of requirements. What kind of intelligence do I want? I want to know about incidents to myself and to other people, people like me and the community at large, indicators of incidents. If I might see them on my external perimeter, that might be okay, but if I see them inside, it might make me update my resume. New vulnerabilities, new malware, new exploits, new tools, new trends in technologies, trends in threats, threat agents. There's an interesting one. In the traditional model of intelligence, military intelligence, or intel, which people claim is no longer an oxymoron, intel is not just about the stuff, the technology, or the threat, but also the threat agent. Who is doing this to me? Who wants to compromise my systems? Who wants to perform a targeted attack upon my organization? Why do they want to do it? What's their motivation? Are they sophisticated? Or are they script kiddies? Do they have the technology and the know-how? Or are they just learning? Are they just ramping up now? Is it a nation state? Are we talking cyber warfare? Use that term. Or are we talking, I'm just the business and I'm worried about my competitors? Entirely different threat agencies and threat agents depending upon what part of the world you work in. What's the known bad? Which can be a really long list. All the bad, known bad domains, all the known bad net blocks. RBN, for example, have they moved again? Or are they shut down this week? Anything else that's new, but not just anything, anything that's, again, timely, accurate, relevant, useful to me. I'm randomly hitting yes and no to that little prompt. I'm not sure what people on the internet are hearing. So at a previous employer, we worked out what we called an incident management capability maturity model, which I talked about at SANSFIRE 07. And part of that model that we developed was, can you map out what would be a mature and a maturity escalation or evolution of cyber threat intelligence from, for example, you don't do it at all. You don't know, you don't care, you don't run anything inside or outside, no one tells you what's going on. Or level two, your sysadmins or security guys might surf occasionally to isc.sans.org, might check out an antivirus vendor website every once in a while, go to a vendor site, microsoft.com. Thank you for joining us, Mr. Carboni. Ah, so I'm going to get the extra special treatment as I leave the country. So if your security guys occasionally surf out, or even on a regular basis, surf to specific sites and download specific information and perhaps download a patch and mitigate and perform some action, or they might do an RSS feed and correlate between them and even tailor their RSS feeds to get information that's more relevant to you. You may also subscribe to Full Disclosure or Bug Track or whatnot. But then your signal-to-noise ratio gets really out of whack, particularly if you're trusting one feed over another. Commercial feeds, they are out there. You can pay people money, and they will deliver to you what is termed cyber threat intelligence. Some of it's push. They push out information to you in the form of email or RSS or whatnot. Others are more, you go to their portal and log in and look at stuff. You might be able to customize their little dashboard. There are product vendors that, if you install their product, comes with a feed that updates the product. Some of the SIM vendors, for example, have that capability built in. So as we go up the scale, the level of intelligence that you get out of your intelligence should be higher. And to a certain extent, the cost of investing in that capability starts to grow as well. You may choose to be a participant in an industry, ISAC, ITAC, or a government coordination center, for lack of a better term. First, the Forum of Incident Responders and security teams. So there are a lot of ways for organizations, particularly larger ones like government agencies or large multinationals, to get involved in groupthink and group share. There's also getting involved in community participation, things like providing intelligence to the San Andreas Storm Center. And believe it or not, a lot of the intelligence that comes into the storm center is from you folks. People email us, say, isn't this neat? Isn't this cool? This is new. Have you seen this before? And just bounce ideas off us. Share malware with us. New bad domains, new bad things. Or do you have a large enough organization that can afford to build your own CTI capability and share that outwards? For example, sharing it as a service or sharing it outwards with your community. There are a lot of industry-specific community groups. In Canada, for example, all the banks belong to CFI, Canadian Financial Institutions CERT, CFI CERT, and they get together and share stuff. Local to you or local to your community or local to your industry or agency's field, you may have the ability to share. So, there are a variety of things you have to have in place to either grow your own ability to monitor, digest, and make sense of intelligence coming into your organization, and even more so to be able to push it back out. Processes, tools, information sources. And you might think, well, where do I get this stuff, this information, this intel, and how do I digest it? Well, we're going to talk about that. Known threats, vulnerabilities, pertinent to me in order to develop targeted cyber threat intelligence. Again, meaningful and tailored to my group or organization. I need to know about incidents, alerts and warnings, as well as internal indicators, things people can tell me about how to look for bad things within my network, which could be an IDS, for example. So sources, there are internal sources of information that you can mine. There's all kinds of stuff you can go into if you can A, gather it, B, store it, and C, analyze and correlate it, which is no small feat. Anyone tried to consolidate logs across a large enterprise? Is that fun? Think about the collecting, think about the storage requirements, think about the processing requirements, think about what to do with it after. Do you just store it or do you do something with it? There's gold and then there are logs, but can you actually look at it? There's an interesting discussion we've had again in Canada with regards to, is an IP address personal information? That might seem absurd. However, it's been argued within certain agencies and organizations that if I know your IP address and I trace that back through logs, I can find out information about you. If we have privacy laws, can we do that? Or are there other considerations? Well, in some organizations, they make the decision that because we have to monitor our network, we are required, again, possibly by compliance, to store these logs. Well, we have to go looking through them for security and network monitoring purposes. That's just required. So that's an interesting argument that we've had. It's actually not really resolved. So logs, IDS data, DNS data. Can you run passive DNS, which is beautiful? Can you store the queries your clients have made? Because if I discover that there is a new piece of malware going to particular domains, well, how do I find out what my clients resolved in the past? I can check the cache, but it might be gone. I can check the firewall logs, but it might be gone. Passive DNS is beautiful. Keep the queries that your clients make. Simple concept, not quite so easy to implement. Honeypot, Darknet, NetFlow data. So different organizations have different sources of information. Working for a telco, can you put an IDS in your backbone? Well, no. You know, if your aggregate backflow of data is in the tens of gigabits? Yeah. That's getting up there. Difficult to run an IDS, difficult to store data. And that's an internal source in most cases. There are external sources that are open source. They're free. There are tons of them, believe it or not. Some of them are perhaps better than others. Some are better at certain things than others. For example, the antivirus vendors are quite good at giving a name and a signature to a new piece of malware that they have been told about and able to analyze. Someone gave them a sample. If they don't get a sample, they don't know anything, so you're out of luck. Sometimes they share. SANS Internet Storm Center, your various cert feeds. US CERT, CERT-CC, we have CERTs in Canada, the international counterparts, the Microsoft Security Research Center, and SRI, for example, they have some free stuff they offer on their website. You just go there and surf there, or they'll email you stuff. Some of them have RSS. There are closed and private lists of information. For example, FIRST, Microsoft list, and the other ISC, Security Information Exchange. It's really a closed community. All you can join if you have something to offer to that community. And there are a large number of other closed or private lists. Again, they might be industry specific, or they might be invitation only to certain organizations or individuals. Can your managed security provider perform CTI for you on your own data? And the answer is yes, if you want them to and let them to a certain extent. They take their generic broad sets of threat feeds and apply it to whatever they're allowed to collect and analyze from your organization. That's a valid concept. And getting down to commercial and open, there are a large number of vendors in that space. Some of them charge money for these feeds. So your internal sources, how do you develop them? You acquire people, process, technology, to a certain extent policy and discussions around things like privacy and how much money you can spend, budgetary. Do you have a trouble ticket or incident database? Here is a source of trending information, a source of metrics, the magic M word that can lead to money. Right? If you have metrics, you might be able to gain budget. There is a fairly large list of things that can provide you logs. I'm sure you're all familiar with most of these. Your antivirus, your firewall, your IDS, your IPS, traffic shaper, DNS, routers, applications, hosts and systems, any form of log collector, your SIM or SIEM, any sniffer or what is it, TiVo for the network? Anything that can collect information in some format that can be parsed and later massaged or mined for data can produce intelligence. If you can provide metrics and trend them over time, or give me an indicator of, oh no, we have a problem, Houston. External resources, here's a long list. There are many, 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 many of them out there. This is by no means exhaustive. It's not even my top 10. I only fit about 5 on the slide. Internet Storm Center, SRI, Shadow Server, Malware Domains, Team Cymry. There are many, many, many lists. Actually, that's a problem. There are many, 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 many lists. How do I keep track of them all? Other sources are CERTs. CERT-CC, US CERT, AUSCERT, the Australian GovCert, CCIRC, which is in Canada, New Zealand, UK, and many, many others. Your nation state may have a free source of information for you if you are a constituent. Twitter, I talked about Twitter earlier. People tweet. People tweet about all kinds of new stuff. And sometimes it's really new and fresh. Sometimes it's old and boring. But there's lots of it out there. I'm actually fairly new to Twitter. I've only really been on it for a couple of weeks. And then I follow a few people. None of them follow me. But again, we talked about, is it accurate? Is it timely? What are my requirements for this source of information? Can I actually make use of it? The AV vendor blogs, some of them are quite useful. Here are just a short list. There's dozens of AV vendors. Some of them spend large amounts of money on research in this area and put a lot of effort into their threat feed information. Some of them also offer commercial feeds for fee. Other sources, BugTrack, talk about full disclosure, Microsoft again. Commercial sources, Secunia, VeriSign, Symantec, iSight, SecureWorks. This is just a very, very short list of a large number of vendors in this space. When we at my previous employer put together our initial cut at cyber threat intelligence, we tried to narrow down to a short list of people that we thought were A, good in the field, and B, perhaps what we could do better than. And that short list, which is actually not, this is actually totally random. I totally randomly picked whoever came up for cyber threat intelligence in Google. This is not any reflection on my belief in whether or not their product is any good or not. My personal opinion, notwithstanding, some of them are actually quite good and some of them are not. So at this previous employer, we attempted to sit down and say, okay, can we develop our own CTI capability, not just for ourselves, but to offer it for pay as a service? And it would fund our research and development back and forth. Developing the CTI was actually not the hard part. Personally, as a member of SANS and Storm Center, I have access to these guys. And I give them stuff, and they give me stuff. That's great. And you guys give us stuff. That's great. And we feed it back as our diary, which is a valid source of cyber threat intelligence. But how do you scale that to a telecommunications provider, an internet service provider, and provide that as a service? It can't just be me. If you're basing a service upon one individual and their source of information, then you're not going to last very long, right? It's not a survivable situation if that person chooses to leave or gets hit by a bus. So some of the other sources of information that may be available to you, the ISE Security Information Exchange, many, many, many lists, FIRST, Microsoft, Sponsolias, and GAIS. There are probably many more specific to your agency, your country you live in, and your industry if you work in the industry, in private sector. A lot of people don't necessarily take advantage of these. One person in the company might be on the list, and they get all kinds of neat stuff, but they don't push it back out within their organization. And if that's the case, then you do not have access to that potential valuable information as a source of CTI because it's only really going to one person. And it's not uncommon. In fact, a lot of the lists insist upon only one person really being on the list. And that the responsibility of that one person on the list to then provide that source of information into your CTI capability. Issues and challenges. Is your threat feed any good, whether it be free or commercial or it's to roll your own? And that's your own evaluation of, does it serve your purposes and or meet my list of requirements on one of the earlier slides? Is it accurate? Is it timely? Does it give you an early warning before the stuff hits the fan? That's really one of the key factors for me. Before I get hit, do I hear about it coming? From whomever. I don't really care who tells me, just as long as someone tells me there's a storm coming and I should batten down the hatches or apply a patch or monitor for some indicator within my environment. Data sensitivity. There are issues around where the data comes from. It might not be further shareable, or the source might not be attributable. Chatham House rules, which apply to some of the meetings and conferences I go to. I can say whatever I want to that conference. Other people will share openly, but whatever I hear, I cannot discuss anywhere else, or I can only discuss without attributing who it came from, aka Chatham House rules. Are there issues with internal information sharing? Do you have different levels of security sensitivities within different parts of your organization or agency? And if you choose to share that information with other parties, is there any form of liability that applies? For example, if you discover a vulnerability in product X, can you share that without being either sued, going to jail, or being discredited in the community as being less than worthy? And one of the issues and challenges with getting CTI is there a value add to your organization? Am I going to spend lots of money on this, one of the commercial feeds, or my role, my own, or just spending time looking through RSS feeds? That's money. Can I prove there's an organizational value in even attempting to go down this path and obtain CTI for my organization? Correlation of sources. Yeah, you can monitor your environment, but is there a nice nifty tool? Is there a magic bullet, silver bullet, magic spoon, whatever, that will do it for me? There are unfortunately very few tools out there that just do it for you, right? In any case, that little nifty box you bought, that widget you installed in your environment right next to the other widgets from different vendors, do they all play together, work nicely? Yeah, not necessarily out of the box, right? So is there a nifty widget I can buy that gives me CTI? Not that meets my requirements. And that's unfortunate. Even if I had the sources of information, I can't just plug them into my magic database and extract information from them, because I have to parse from different sources, I have to evaluate the different sources, perform analysis on the different pieces of information from each source, correlate them, and then allow it to go back out as a threat feed. There's no magic box that does that, unfortunately. There are some SIM tools and business intelligence tools that can be used as part of a workflow tool to get some of this information in and out. But some of the other factors, like we discussed, human intelligence, who are my threat agents, how does that get into the tool? Well, it doesn't really. And there's a lot of manual analysis. Unfortunately, the more value add in any of this type of information is, someone sat down and looked at it and evaluated it, performed a rating system, a severity, and or threw it out because it was invalid, not validatable, not provable. So here's one way of looking at a low-cost architecture for developing CTI internally. Take a look at your sources, those that you choose to use, and that's again one of the things to consider. Which sources do you choose to use? My lists were fairly long, but the list of available sources of information are very, very extensive. That's a long list. Who do I trust and who do I ask? Well, I tend to ask my friends. Some of them sitting here in front of us. Who do you use? What sites do you go to? What RSS feeds? What Twitters do you follow? Do I have public feeds available to me? Oh, yes, of course. Do I have private feeds available to me? Do I have commercial feeds available? Possibly more than one if you're a really large organization. You know, Singapore has one feed, and the West Coast of the United States is a different feed, but they don't share, right? Happens in more multinationals than you would believe. And internal sources. If you have an organization that's cut up into fiefdoms that don't share information on the best of times, there's no way they're going to share information about incidents or threats or even what they're running, right? They won't even speak to each other, forget sharing. So these are things that you have to consider when you build this capability. And then what you have available, how does it feed into some form of collector server? Which, that little magic box, if it existed, that I could buy off the shelf, would be great, but it doesn't. So I can, for example, aggregate RSS feeds, take emails in from certain sources, hopefully they come in a common format, parse them, maybe slap them in a database, take that email or that RSS feed, maybe pop it in a PDF tool, and roll it out. Collecting from multiple sources, parsing, slapping in a database or some form of collector server, and pushing it back out to a bunch of people, that's actually not that difficult. That's doable. Couple of servers, couple of subscriptions, away you go. And because you centrally collected it, you're not relying upon one individual. Now, what's the fault with this little setup? What's missing? The I part, right? The intelligence. Who's looking at the data before it gets pushed back out? All the analysis has to be formed by my end user. But this is quite feasible in almost any organization, say mid-size or larger. A more advanced architecture has your same types of sources, perhaps more, perhaps fewer, has your collection tools that can parse, import, and make comprehensible into one form of storage, and then you perform mass correlation analysis, which again, unfortunately, is primarily people process technology, and the people is one of the more expensive parts in some cases. Where we have then a clean correlated storage of CTI that we can then report out to our user endpoint. And the value add here is the ability to say, this is a clean feed. Someone has looked at it. Someone has validated it. Human intelligence has been applied to the CTI. So, my conclusion is that yes, there is such a thing as cyber threat intelligence, and I hope that my definitions make sense. Situational awareness in any organization of either before things hit the fan, during or after, is critical in most organizations. If you look at any command and control model or incident management model, they all require you to be aware of what's going on. And CTI is a valid source thereof. One of the requirements is internal, external, public, and private sources of information. The more you want to move up the scale of maturation or evolution in my model, the more you require additional sources and the more you have to apply the analysis portion to the threat feed. Some of these may be very, very specific to your industry or your agency, or your company if you're in a very niche environment. Trained analysts, a good workflow, good inputs and technology gets you good output. Any one of these not being part of your mix and you can end up with GIGO, garbage in, garbage out, right? And we have tons of time for questions. Does anyone have any questions or observations they'd like to share? Sir. Yes. So the question is, have I been able to thwart or mitigate an attack based on threat delivered from this architecture? The answer is yes. My former employer has deployed this type of architecture, or is in the process thereof, to some extent, and the information is both usable internally and fed out externally to clients as a source of revenue. Dealing with my current employer, the answer is still yes, although we do not actually have this architecture employed internally at my current employer, but it's one of the things that we've talked about developing. Trying to think of a more specific example that I can talk about. Yeah, Jim's laughing. What can I talk about? Bit of background, I've spent some time working for certain government agencies in Canada. That would be the equivalent of three-letter agencies down here. And when I worked for employers back then, yeah, I couldn't talk about it then. Can't talk about it now. Right. Okay, let's talk about Titan Rain, Mark. I whipped out on that question, sorry. Yes, sir.
Seems like one of the biggest issues that we run into with this is, you know, taking all of that and making it useful, being able to convince something useful out of, you know, 4 million bytes.
So the question is timeliness, and how do I consider timeliness as part of this model or timeliness in general? I think timeliness comes down to two things. One is how quickly the information can be imported and analyzed, but also the timeliness of my response. For example, if the information is arriving at 4 o'clock in the morning, but my response doesn't arrive till 9 a.m. because my instant response staff are late sleepers, then that would not be timely in my personal opinion. There are other cases where a zero day appears that is used in the underground to provide or to compromise organizations, target attacks, prior to anyone else even knowing about it's actually a negative day, right? No one is even knowing that the zero day exists in this product, and it's currently being used in attack. Recent examples would be Microsoft products, PDFs, Acrobat, WMF from a while ago. So there are examples of the exploit was being actually used in the wild or in by very select individuals to compromise targeted people, but the information was not made public until weeks and or months, and in some cases years later. And the vendor in that case then is under the gun to provide the fix, the mitigation, the patch, right? Or the community at large tries to provide a patch or mitigation for that particular exploit, the vulnerability. Where do you start the time clock? Right? In my case, when I find out about it, then I want to have a timely response. My source of information, sources, hopefully, can provide the information to me in a timely fashion, quick enough that I can then respond quickly enough to either mitigate or at least reduce the damage. In some cases, we're hearing about malware or threats, and we have to go back in time and say, okay, well, we have this IP address, this URL, this particular file name. Can we go back in time and find out, did we ever see this in our organization? We're going through exchange logs, going through firewall logs, proxy logs, whatnot, DNS logs. So it depends where you start the clock, in my personal opinion. Faster is always better, or coordinated, efficient, and accurate. It's facts.
When our investigation teams go back and look at some of that or breach or whatever, we can usually find in their logs evidence of the attack, constantly probing everything there, all the intelligence they ever need.
Yep. Yep. So, Mark was bringing up the point that a lot of times when you're made aware of an incident, say for example, someone tells you you've been broken into, or you're made aware of a threat and it becomes public knowledge and you go back in time and look through your logs, you discover that, hey, if we had looked at the logs at that time and performed correlation analysis on our own source of information, we would have found it then and not later when we were advised. And that's unfortunate, but probably the case more often than not. Any further questions or comments? Which sites do I use the most? That would be telling. Probably half of the sites that I used in the slides I used, and the other half I picked at random from, but I actually check a fair number of sites every day, particularly if I'm on duty. Yes, sir. So that's always, so the question is, with you have all this information pouring in, what do you do with it? Can your analysts get through it within a reasonable time and actually make it useful? And that's the key problem with all of this. The problem is, how do I automate the parts that can be automated, make them flow, and how do I apply intelligence to where it's really required? How do I make myself work smarter and not harder? And that's a classic problem in my personal opinion. That's since I started working in IT and security for the past couple of decades. How do I make myself work smarter, not harder? And how do I get parts automated that should be automated? And how do I apply intelligence where it's required? And intelligent people. People, process, technology. Make them flow, life is good, right? If they don't flow, you're fighting fires and you never get anywhere. I should also mention this point in time, Natasha Helberg, my former partner in crime at, when I worked for that company, has also helped me develop a lot of these thoughts and the original incident management capability maturity model we wrote together, which hopefully at some point will be released in public. Yeah. Yes. The company I worked for actually works with a partner called Cavium. And Cavium is an interesting tool for looking at information and modeling it and performing analysis on the outputs. Will it ever actually be a tool that goes to market? I don't know. A lot of the stuff, places I've worked, for example, 10 years ago, where I worked at a company, we did this with Perl. We wrote Perl scripts that went out to a bunch of sites and pulled, you know, as the site changed, download the content, parse it, slap it in somewhere, and then email it to someone every morning. We did a lot of that back in the day. We're still doing it now, right? Same concepts. It might be not Perl anymore, maybe you write it in Python, right? But it's still the same thing. So I'm hoping we can evolve this area such that information meets my requirements. Actually, should check if there are any questions in the anywhere online, right? Probably should have read these earlier. Hello. Ask me to repeat the questions. Mark, I have been trying to repeat the questions. Yes, sir. That's a very good point. I believe the question was, is there value in monitoring foreign nations or foreign language? Yeah. So the question was, is there value and who does monitoring of foreign languages? For example, you raised Eastern Europe, Asia, Pacific, South America, so Portuguese and Spanish. So other languages, there's all kinds of stuff going on there. For example, a friend of mine who works in Brazil, or worked in Brazil, told me that down there they have all kinds of Banco password stealers that are specific to them. And the local underground is crazy about them, and the banks just hate them down there. Up here, we don't see them at all. Or we might see the occasional variant thereof, but not the same type of malware. Malware coming out of former Soviet Union blocks, or malware coming out of People's Republic of China, or attributed to People's Republic of China. What do we do about that? Do we monitor it? We tend to monitor it when it hits us. But I'm fairly certain there is actually malware specific to other regions of the world that we never see or hear about until it impacts us using English versions of Windows, right? Or those operating systems that are impacted by that threat.
So there's a specific value in trying to correlate data from different areas of the world in different countries?
I would argue that were I a nation state with running an intelligence service, then yes, I would. I'm sorry, the question was, is there value in monitoring foreign language and other nation states if there's no impact to me or us, our community, our portion of the world? Mm-hmm. Or correlating it with information we see from other parts of the world. Some vendors do so. For example, the antivirus vendors try and give you their world map, what different pieces of malware are seen in different parts of the world. Although I'm not certain if the antivirus vendors that are popular here are popular in other countries. So I'm not certain they get the appropriate feeds of information from their database or their population. As I said, my response would be if I were a nation state and I had an intelligence service, then I would be very interested in what certain communities are up to. But again, I might ignore or pay less attention to other communities that will not I don't perceive as a threat to me. It does get down to what do I perceive as a threat to me or us, as opposed to the bad guys. Or multinationals might have a totally different perspective. If, for example, a multinational is running, let's pick on some other country, France, and you're running the French version of Windows in France, and there are issues with crypto in France, and there are issues with organizations attempting to potentially eavesdrop on your conversations, then do you have issues with that and should you monitor it? I would say yes, because that is potentially a threat to that organization. Where are you at? Guess it must be Miller time then, right?
Okay, we're going to take about 5 minutes before we start the next one. Thank you, Dr. Schneider.
Thank you.
Thank you.